Just a reminder that first Sunday of the month, that any money not designated will given to be put into oblation. We bow with me and say a prayer over the offering. Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you this day and we thank you for all the blessings you give us. Thank you for helping us to prepare this, and thank you for all the chance for everybody to come together and worship you. We ask that you'll bless this money, that it will be used in a way that will be pleasing to you. And bless those that give it. I pray these things in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen.
I've never seen such a happy people. Have you got a smile up on your face as you come to share with your Heavenly Father? I want to welcome you this Sabbath morning in the name of our Lord, and pray that His love might touch your love, and His Spirit might touch your spirit, that we might be one with Him. I guess I should introduce the men that are on the rostrum with me for the benefit of the email or the... Farron Brooker, Priest Farron Brooker, will bring the benediction. Josiah Bates, Priest Josiah Bates, will bring the invocation. And Elder Ray Sams will bring the blessing on the bread. Elder Bob Bates will bring the blessing on the wine. Our message will be brought by Elder David Bates. And my name is Clarence Herning, and I will be presiding this morning. The scripture I have chosen to open this service this morning is from the Moroni 10th chapter, starting at the 29th verse. Yea, come unto Christ, and be perfected in Him. Deny yourself, of all ungodliness. And if you should deny yourself of all ungodliness and love the God with all your might, mind, and strength, then is his grace sufficient for you, that by his grace you may be perfect in Christ. And if by the grace of God you are perfect in Christ, you can in no wise deny the power of God. Then are you sanctified in Christ by the grace of God through the shedding of the blood of Christ, which is in the covenant of the Father, unto the remission of your sins, that you become holy without spot. Amen. Shall we continue our service with hymn number 11?
Father, I thank you for this day, and I thank you for all the wonderful blessings you've given to us, Lord. I thank you for this opportunity that we have to come together and praise and worship your holy name. Pray, Lord, as we come before you this day and as we come before your table, that you'd forgive us of our sins, Lord, that we might be whole before you. I pray, Lord, that your Spirit would come and attend with us and watch over and direct us in this service. I pray, Lord, that you'd be with my father as he brings the message, that you'd bless him and the words that he shares with us. And I pray, Lord, that you bless us as a congregation, that our hearts and minds might be open to the words. Pray, Lord, that you watch over and guide and direct us. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
A few remarks to make about the sacrament and this table this morning. If the men would start to prepare the emblems, this table is set before you this morning in remembrance of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The bread and the wine are symbols of his broken body and spilt blood. As we look at the scriptures, they tell us that Christ paid the price. He atoned for our sins to bring about the plan of redemption of our souls. Sin is forgiven through repentance. And we know he repented for our sins. So there had to be a sacrifice, and there had to be an atonement, and there had to be a covenant. And I want to read just a little bit out of Alma 16. It says, "There can be nothing which is short of an infinite atonement, which will suffice for the sins of the world. Therefore, it is expedient that there must be a great and last sacrifice." Every whit pointing to that great and last sacrifice. That great and last sacrifice will be the Son of God, yea, infinite and eternal. Thus he shall bring salvation to all those who shall believe on his name. So we have a plan set before us. We have a covenant to make. And we know when Jesus walked this earth, on this planet, on the Americas, he told his disciples to bring bread and wine. And he told the people to pray. They sat on the ground and prayed. And he broke the bread. And he gave it to his disciples. And he said, give it to the multitude. And he done the same with the wine. He set a pattern that we'd live to this day. And he said, you do it in remembrance of my broken body and spilt blood. In remembrance. And you make that covenant in my church through baptism for the remission of sin. And we know that he died upon the cross. A man without sin, the Son of God, to take upon himself sin, our sins, because we are sinful. But he gave us a plan of redemption for our souls, where we might be with him in glory. And then he told us to make a covenant, the covenant within his church, that we'd be baptized and we would take upon ourselves his name. And so that is what we are here this morning for. It is to remember him, to remember what he has sacrificed for each one of us, and the plan of salvation for our souls. We are close communionists. We believe in one having authority, being called of God. But if there is any that is have not made that covenant, we would invite them to investigate, that we might share with them, that they might have that desire to make that covenant with their Heavenly Father, so they might be able to take this gift of eternal life through this covenant. That is my prayer. Shall we continue with hymn 277? 277. Be seated.
Yeah. O God, the eternal Father, we ask thee in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this bread to the souls of all those who partake of it, that they may eat in remembrance of the body of thy Son, and witness unto thee, O God, the eternal Father, that they are willing to take up on them the name of thy Son, and always remember him and keep his commandments which he had given them, that they may always have his Spirit to be with them. Amen.
Facing the altar as much as possible while I say the blessing on the wine. O God, the eternal Father, we ask thee in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this wine to the souls of all those who drink of it, that they may do it in remembrance of the blood of thy Son, which was shed for them, that they may witness unto thee, O God, the eternal Father, that they do always remember him, that they may have his spirit to be with them. Amen. Thank you.
Did anyone miss their portion of bread or wine? I don't think our speaker needs to be introduced. I know that he is a man of God, and he will bring the words of the Heavenly Father to us this day. I just ask for you, prayers for him.
If you allow me, I want to say a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for these, my brothers and my sisters. I thank you for pouring out your Spirit upon them. Blessing them, Father, with knowledge and understanding concerning you and your love for them and the joy that resides within their lives as they know and understand more fully the workings of your kingdom. By the power of your Spirit. And Father, I pray now that you would pour out your Spirit upon them. That you would embrace them, Father. In the arms of truth. They might have that rightness before you. That they might have peace in the depths of their souls. And Father, we've come before you this day and we've committed ourselves unto that which you've asked. We have in times past taken upon ourselves the name of our beloved Savior, your Son. We remember him this day, Father, in taking of the bread, which represents his flesh, drinking the wine, which represents his blood, which was spilled for us, that we might live. Father, I pray that you would help us, that your Holy Spirit would guide and direct us, that we might keep your commandments, which you have given unto us. That your Spirit might be ever present, and to guide us and direct us into those paths which lead to your kingdom established here on earth. Which lead to us, your children, embracing the truth, that we might look up and that Zion will return. I know these things, Father, are self-evident. I know that we can trust in all that you've said. Help now our unbelief, that we might do your will. It's my prayer in Jesus' name, amen. From Moroni, the 7th chapter. Wherefore all things which are good cometh of God, and that which is evil cometh of the devil. For the devil is an enemy of God, and fighteth against him continually, and inviteth and enticeth to sin, and to do that which is evil continually. But behold, that which is of God inviteth and enticeth to do good continually. Wherefore, everything which inviteth and enticeth to do good and to love God and to serve him is inspired of God. Wherefore, take heed, my beloved brethren, that you do not judge that which is evil to be of God, or that which is good and of God to be of the devil. For behold, my brethren, it is given unto you to judge, that ye may know good from evil, that ye may know with a perfect knowledge, as the daylight is from the dark night. For behold, the Spirit of Christ is given unto every man, that they may know good from evil. Wherefore I show unto you the way to judge, for everything which inviteth to do good and to persuade to believe in Christ is sent forth by the power and gift of Christ. Wherefore ye may know with a perfect knowledge it is of God. For whatsoever thing persuadeth men to do evil and believeth not in Christ and deny him and serve not God, then ye may know with a perfect knowledge it is of the devil. And now, my brethren, seeing that ye know the light by which ye may judge, which light is the light of Christ, see that ye do not judge wrongfully, for with that same judgment which ye judge, ye shall also be judged. Wherefore I beseech you, brethren, that ye should search diligently in the light of Christ, that ye may know good from evil. And if ye will lay hold upon every good thing and condemn it not, ye certainly will be a child of Christ. It's a wonderful experience to be able to be here with you and to be able to partake of the bread and the wine. The joy that fills my soul seeing each of your faces. And knowing that your thoughts are upon the Lord and your Savior, Jesus Christ. There was a moment in the history when Jesus was here on the earth, and it kind of is one thing that I'm not really able to comprehend as well as those who may have been there and experienced it. But that experience was the one where the young man gave up his family's groceries, the loaves and fishes, at a time when there were those who were coming to hear the words of Jesus, to deliberate over them, to judge them, even as the scripture says, and to choose within themselves whether they would follow that. And they became hungry as they sat upon the hillside listening to those words. And our Lord and our Savior fed them. He took those loaves and those fishes and blessed them and broke them, and he sent them out. And it says it came back to him after they'd all been filled. And it doesn't say they just got a little bit. It says they were filled. And it came back to him an enormous amount. And I just can't help but feel that that little boy went home with, you know, more groceries than he came with. But the multitude later, and he calls them his disciples, or at least John does, came to Jesus and inquired of him more diligently, you know, who he was. And he told them that he was the bread of life. And they didn't quite understand that. And they came, he says, because he said, he told them, well, you're here because you got fed with those breads, that those loaves and those fishes. But I'm here to feed you for eternity. And you must eat my flesh. You must drink my blood. And that was a hard saying for many of them. And it says that at that point on, there were many who did not follow him. But he was speaking of things not in a physical sense. For it tells us the kingdom of God is not meat, not drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And so it's important for us to realize that this is a spiritual experience. This isn't a physical thing for us this day. As we took that bread, a symbol of his flesh, as we took that wine, a symbol of his blood that was shed for us, that we might live. It was given unto us as those who have taken his name upon us, those who remember him always, and those who keep his commandments, which he has given us, that we might have his spirit to be with us always. Now Jesus, in the book of John, and that scriptures, those scriptures that I referred to were in John. I think the experience is John, the 6th chapter, if you want to look at it later. But John was deliberating with his apostles, if you will, or all of his disciples that were with him. And he was talking to them about things that were coming. And he referenced many times the relationship that he would have as far as him dying on the cross. The relationship he would have with them when he left. And Jesus said unto them, he said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. And by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." And that was in the 13th chapter of John. In the 14th chapter, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." And then he tells us how that's going to happen. In the next 3 chapters, I believe, he just repeats it over and over again. And it's kind of like a lesson, you know, if you're a teacher, and I don't know if you've ever taught before, but you want to introduce the subject matter. You want to detail that subject matter. And then you want to summarize it again at the end so that the students will know it. And Jesus does this over and over again in his scriptures that he has given us. That he tells us those things that are necessary for life. He details them in parables. And even explains the parables to those who believe. And then he summarizes them to let us know how important they are to our lives. And it's important for us that we begin to live them, to understand them. And he tells his disciples, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you'll ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." And further down in 21, he says, this is again in the 14th chapter, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. And then in the 23rd verse, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and he will come unto me and make our abode with him. Are you getting the pattern? Jesus says, if you love me, what do? Keep my commandments. Now he's repeated that 3 times in that chapter. And he goes from there, he says, these things I have spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, but give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now Jesus ends that chapter with something I felt was pretty astonishing to me to discover. Even though I kind of knew it intuitively, it kind of pointed it out more rigidly to me in the last 2 verses of this chapter of 14. And he says, hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of darkness who is of this world cometh, but hath no power over me. But he hath power over you. And if you remember the things that we read in Moroni in the 7th chapter earlier, it told us that, you know, those things which are of God are the truth. And those things which are not of God are a lie and separate us from him. And I'm just summarizing what it says. And Jesus is telling his disciples here that the prince of darkness is coming. And he tells them he has no power over me, speaking of himself, but he hath power over you. And he tells you why in the next verse, in the 31st verse. And I tell you these things that you may know that I love the Father. And as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. And I think that's important for us to realize that if we're going to put ourselves in that condition, that we become like our Lord and like our Savior Jesus Christ. If Satan will have no power over us, these are the words we must live by. You may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Now he spoke to his disciples because he knew that they were still within their hearts and even in their minds. Just that little bit of doubt. I tell you now, the doubt is washed away by the exercise of faith and the implementation of that knowledge that you gain through faith. As we read in 2 Peter, the 1st chapter, it says that faith leads to virtue. And virtue, I believe, is the power of God, the authority that reigns on this earth because of who he is. And that virtue leads to knowledge. Now that knowledge can go on to do things that are not of God, if that is our choice. But in 2 Peter it says that it should lead to patience. And later, well, let me get to it. I want to read it correctly here. This is 2 Peter, the 1st chapter. And I'm going to read to you a majority of that, second down through the eighth verses. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. I teach a class on this very section of 2 Peter. And the portion of this versing here, I kind of term the stairway to heaven. Because if you look at it, it's like steps. It goes from faith to virtue, to knowledge, to temperance, to patience, to godliness. And from godliness to brotherly kindness, and from brotherly kindness to charity. What was that first thing I read about? No, not in Moroni, but the first one in John, that Jesus told you, he gave you a commandment to do what? To love one another, right? And what did he tell you about himself? He says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Well, I tell you today that if you love one another, what will you do? Keep his commandments. That's how you show that you love one another. Is that you keep God's commandments. If you're a young man or a young woman, unmarried, you're looking for a spouse, I just use this as an illustration because it can be at any level of wherever you are in life. How will you show that person that you love them? Will you throw gifts at them, flowers? I mean, those are nice things. But how do you truly show them that you love them? Tell me. Keep his commandments. And that is what his disciples stumbled a little bit with. That's why he said, Satan has no power over me, but unfortunately, he has power over you. And he gave us the remedy. In the last of that chapter I read in John. Now read it again, the 14th chapter. And I tell you these things that you may know that I love the Father. And as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. In the Doctrine and Covenants, in the first section, the seventh verse, it states, search these commandments, for they are true and faithful. And the prophecies and promises which are in them shall all be fulfilled. Now you've got a choice to make. It says they'll all be fulfilled. But there's a determination in our lives whether they will be fulfilled in us. It says they will be fulfilled. But we need to make a choice that they're fulfilled in us. So search them diligently. Put them into place in your life that you might have that joy. In section 81 of the Doctrine and Covenants, it says, and again I say unto you, I give unto you a new commandment, that you may understand my will concerning you. Or in other words, I give unto you directions, how you may act before me, that it may turn to you for your salvation. I, the Lord, am bound when you do what I say. But when you do not what I say, ye have no promise. And so it is, the Lord is telling us that if you want to bind him, if you want to hold him to his word, keep his commandments. If you don't, you have no promise. And the Lord in John, 1 John, I believe it is, states that He resists the proud. And I've studied the term pride and proud in those scriptures, and I cannot find any other definition for it except for that it is a lie. I've searched the scriptures and humbleness and being humble and going into the depths of humility, and I can't find any other definition for it, but it is the truth. So if you want to be a humble person, what do? Keep the commandments. Keep the commandments. For that is the truth that the Lord has delivered unto you. And He delivered it unto you through the power of His Spirit. Behold, that which you hear is as the voice of one crying in the wilderness. In the wilderness, because you cannot see him, my voice, because my voice is spirit. My spirit is truth. Truth abideth and hath no end. And if it be in you, it shall abound. So that's what we need to do. Search those commandments. Seek them out. Implement them in our lives. Because it says the prophecies and promises which are in them shall all be fulfilled. And it is the Spirit of truth that leads us. There's a name for the Holy Ghost in Genesis 6 that I love. And, you know, in Genesis 6, towards the end, it gives a whole list of names of the Holy Spirit. But the record of heaven is one that I truly, really feel for and in relationship with the Holy Spirit, because it is the Holy Spirit knows from this point where you live to all points prior, to all points future, the Holy Spirit knows. And it says that if you have that Spirit in you, it will give you a knowledge of all truth, of all things. I believe that that is a promise of God. And we need to attain that. We need to get to the point where we embrace the truth so lovingly, so caringly, with such great desire, because we love our Father in heaven. He created all these things that we see upon this earth for our pleasure, for us. He created them. And we need to have that instilled within us, a desire to keep His commandments above all else, to seek first His kingdom. You can't necessarily have a kingdom without direction, commandments. And He has asked us that we do this thing, that we might show that we love Him. And in that, nothing else will have power over us except for God. I'm going to go back to John again with a short stop in Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So they were made by Jesus Christ, who proclaimed Himself to be the Word of God. But without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And James tells us that, he says, show me your faith without works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. And so it is that we need to implement the direction that God has given each of us to search those commandments diligently, put them into our lives, that we might have that rightness with God, that we might have that peace with God, that we might have that joy for which we were created. Man is that he might have joy, and that we might have it through the power of the Holy Spirit in us. It is expedient for you that I go away, were the words of Jesus to his disciples. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again. This is his promise to all of us. And your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing, but it shall be done unto you. Whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Now he's telling us, ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. I just spent 2 weeks ago, not this last week, the week before, at the 70s reunion in Lamoni. And I tell you, a miraculous thing happened there. Many miraculous things happened there, but I won't go all over all of them in detail. But I believe that the saints who came there came with a purpose to learn of their Heavenly Father, came with a purpose to testify of his love for each and every one of his creation. And if you know, the 70 reunion is titled Missionary Family Reunion. And I believe that those who came walked away with a desire to share those things that they had learned that week. And I had such great joy there. I'd gone before in the Moni, and Karen's parents lived there, and her brother Ron lives there, and Steve, and you know, I really struggled with going to Lamoni because Lamoni has an adverse effect on my health. I'm a little bit allergic to molds, and there's a lot of mold in Lamoni. And so when I go there, I can last maybe a day and a half to 2 days, and then I just get all congested, and my eyes are itchy and watery, and my head is aching. I went this whole week without any of those symptoms. I prayed before I went that my Heavenly Father would bless me with that, because I had to teach a class. I knew that that would be a detriment to that. And he poured out his Spirit on me and blessed me that I felt so good all week. You know, and some of those times in times past, I just, because I felt so bad, I missed out on some things. But I got up in the morning so energized, and I went to the priesthood meetings in the morning, the prayer services, and I tell you, there were times when we would put a little circle of chairs in the front, and that was it. We filled the Chevelle Chapel. On the one side, which is the majority of the chapel, the priesthood filled that chapel every morning. It was an awesome sight. We had wonderful prayer and testimony times with the saints in the early morning hours with our little groups and then later with larger groups. And the Lord poured out His Spirit, just as He has done this morning. And I see it in your faces. So let us remember, the way to love our Heavenly Father is what?
Keep
His commandments. The way to love each other is what? Keep His commandments. Upon all this hangs all the laws, remember? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, might, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. The only way you can truly love yourself, is to keep His commandments. And you will be brought into the depths of humility. You will be a humble person. Because remember, I told you, humility is the truth. Pride is the lie. Seek first His kingdom, and all these things shall be added unto you.
Thank you, Dave, for the ministry of the hour. And I think we've all been blessed this day, that we would not trade it for any other day. Shall we continue our service with hymn number 67, after which Farron will have the benediction. 67.
Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for the Spirit that's been with us today. As we take time and pause and reflect on what Your Son has done for us, He died on the cross. And as we take these emblems into our bodies, and that we ask for Your forgiveness, we pray that You will continue to be with us, each and every one of us. These things I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.